We're pleased to have with us this week Jim and Terry Braceland, and they've been here really most of the week. Started on Wednesday night with our training for our deaf ministry, and the goal was to kind of get that up and running. So we probably have a nice little group. We had like 20 or so that came, and that we're part of that on average for the Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday morning. And I've appreciate that. I've known Jim and Terry Braceland for. We were trying to figure out over 41 years, I think it is, that when I met them first. And now in the church, Janet and I were visiting at Church of the Open Door in Westminster, Maryland at the time. And there was this young fellow running around doing everything that Dr. Smith said to do. And I thought he was one of the teens, to be honest with you. And his wife looked like one of the teens. She still kind of looks like one of the teens. And anyway, got to know them. And then he was there to teach at the school. And then they had him a junior high youth department, and then the senior high youth department, and then he had him with the young couples. It kind of moved up the same crowd, didn't you? Yeah, I kind of did. But anyway, had a great couples ministry there, huge ministry that really grew. And then Lord called him to pastor a church, and he was up here in north of Philly, and then the Lord has moved them into the Silent Word Ministry with Ted Camp, and he's been doing that now for quite a few years. He said he's 25 years coming up here, and he's the Northeast Director. He takes care of this whole end of the deal, Vice President of the ministry there, and we just appreciate him. You just got to love Jim and Terry. They're just as sweet as they can be, and just good, humble servants of the Lord. And the Lord has used them, and they're going to be a blessing. So I appreciate them being here. God bless you, and give us what the Lord's got on your heart. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Well, good morning. I neglected to introduce my wife this morning in the early service. She's back here interpreting for me right now. I am going to be preaching to you in two languages simultaneously this morning. I hope you can handle that. I hope I can handle that. No, I'm just teasing. You'll hear me speaking your language, and then I'll be using my hands to preach for the deaf as well this morning. We're grateful to have a deaf friend with us this morning, and so we're going to make sure he can understand everything you can understand. Terry and I have been blessed to be here with you this weekend. It's always a good time to come here and to be able to get to meet some of you all, and we appreciate your kindness to us. We have eaten way too much this week. I have to go on a diet today when I leave, but not until after lunch, of course. You know how that works, right? But we're glad to be able to be with you. It's really been a blessing. We do serve local churches trying to help them start deaf ministries. Why is that, you might ask? You say, oh, there's not many deaf around. You'd be surprised, for one. But let me give you a couple of statistics to start this morning. 93% of deaf people do not go to church regularly. There's a reason for that. Only 4% of our churches in America have a ministry to the deaf. So where do they go if they want to go to church? They have to fit into one of those 4% of churches. As a result of that, only about 2% of deaf people in America, we're talking. It's worse in other countries. But right here in America, only 2% of deaf people will trust Christ as their Savior. The first words they will hear will be, depart from me, I never knew you, from the Lord Jesus. We don't think that's right. We don't think that's fair. And so we want to do all that we can to try to influence as many deaf as we can for Jesus Christ. We want them at least to know that Jesus died for them, amen? Amen. And that Jesus rose from the dead for them, and we want them to have the chance to either receive or reject Jesus Christ. I think everybody deserves that opportunity. And so that's what our ministry is about, and that's what we set out to do. Open your Bibles this morning to the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter number 3 to start, and we're going to spend our time basically right there in Scripture. We'll look at a couple of other verses today, but I want to share a message with you that's, as I mentioned earlier today, I like to try to preach things that touch my heart, things that God used to, I don't like to say touch my heart, I like it when God crushes my heart and really impacts me with the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I many times I pick up this book in the morning and I read it, and I feel like God put that in there just for me. Amen. I don't know if you feel that way. If you don't, I think you need to read it that way because it's written that way. This book was written with us in mind. God knew exactly what we needed. He did not waste any space. He did not, according to himself, he did not add one extra word, and he did not leave out any words. So we should not add anything or take away anything from it. As we heard in Sunday school this morning, we just need to believe it and live it. And so this morning I want to share a simple message with you that I hope will touch your heart where you are. Let's pray together and then we'll get started. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for the opportunity that you've given us to come here. Thank you for the good health that we have, that we could get here. And we pray that you will touch our hearts as we study the Bible together this morning. Help us as we open these familiar stories that we've heard so many times before, not to just say, oh, I know that story and let it pass, but help us to focus our attention on these things, these truths that are here, that you've given us to help us to live more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would help this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would fill me and fill the folks who are here that are listening. We need you today. We cannot do anything without your help. And so we pray that you would help us this morning to recognize that we have met with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, we didn't come here just to play church this morning. Amen. We came here because we need this time. Every week, you ought to be faithful to your church because this world that's outside of here is totally against what is in this Bible. And we need to be faithful to come here to study, to learn, to apply, and then to go out there and live and show these truths that we have learned right here today. So I hope that's why you've come. I hope that's the goal of your life. I hope that it'll be a blessing to you when we talk about this morning. You know, I don't know if you have ever felt this way, but many times I have felt totally overwhelmed. I remember the first time that our oldest daughter was born. We have four children. Now they're having children. We have 13 grandchildren, which we, you know, they're really pretty precious. Something about those grandchildren, you know? I don't know what. Well, I know what it is. You can send them back home is what it is. But anyway, we have four children. And our oldest daughter, I remember when she was born. I remember it very clearly. The doctor, you know, she was born and the doctor handed her, they cleaned her up a little bit and they gave her to me. I remember looking at that little face there. Oh, I looked at her and I thought, oh my word, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm doing. I've never been a father before. I was still trying to be a good husband at that time. And I thank the Lord that he didn't leave me there alone with that little girl, but he helped me all the way through. I think about, there was a time when I got a phone call. I was planning to go to Ukraine. We were going to go to Ukraine to teach sign language. Now, we're not real smart. Or I should say, I'm not real smart. I was going to Ukraine. I'm planning to go to Ukraine to teach sign language there. I don't know Ukrainian sign language. I never really thought about that. I'm just going to go there. God gave me a burden. He gave me an open door. I'm going to go. And just before we were supposed to go, about 2 months before we were supposed to go, I got a phone call from a man who had the contact there in Ukraine. And he said, we have the pastor of the church that's there. They had a Baptist church in Ukraine there, in Zhytomyr, Ukraine. He said, the pastor there has stepped back and we need an interim pastor to go there for 6 weeks. Would you be willing to go there 6 weeks early and become the pastor there? And I wanted to say no, because I didn't want to go by myself. It would mean I would have to leave my wife at home, and I would go there alone. I'd be the only person there. I was the only American there in the city that I knew about. But I agreed that I would go. By the way, God had a plan. Because during those 6 weeks that I was there without my wife, guess what happened? I went to the deaf school and I learned Ukrainian sign language. So the last 2 weeks that we were there, my wife came over for the last 2 weeks, we would be able to teach sign language in the church. God knew. He's smarter than us, by the way. You understand that. And he directs our steps. But I remember when I got on the plane in Washington, D.C. in Dulles Airport, I remember I'm all by myself and I don't normally travel by myself. And I was kind of nervous and I saw a guy who was over at the bar in the airport. You know what I'm talking about, right? And he's just knocking them down. And I thought to myself, that's the guy I'm going to sit next to on the plane. And true story, that's who I sat next to on the plane. Well, the good thing was he was so drunk that he slept most of the way to Ukraine, which was wonderful. But anyway, I remember just feeling just totally overwhelmed. Have you ever felt totally overwhelmed? We live in a world where if you don't feel that way a little bit, I think you're not paying attention too well. We have war in Ukraine. We have war in Israel. We have huge problems here in America. And we think, oh, what are we going to do? Our families need help, and our finances need help, and our churches need help. Amen for all of that. And we think, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. And we want to back off. And really, if we could, we would go hide somewhere. But we cannot do that. I want you to see today, I feel like most of the people that we think about as heroes in the Bible probably felt that way when God called them. Let me give you just a few examples, and then we're going to look at Moses this morning here in Exodus chapter 3 and 4. But Abraham, do you remember when God called Abraham and said, I want you to take your son, your only son, the son whom thou lovest, take him and offer him as a sacrifice to me. You think Abraham said, yes. No, I think Abraham said, oh, okay. He obeyed. I think about Joseph. He had to go through the experience of the pit, and then he had to go through the prison. Then he ended up in the palace, but in every place, he needed God's help in every place. Probably felt overwhelmed in each place. I think about Samson, who lost his eyesight, and he felt overwhelmed. By the way, it was his responsibility that he felt that way, but he would feel that way. And I think about, can you imagine Joseph and Mary when they heard, you're going to give birth to a child? They had to feel overwhelmed. I mean, all the way through the Bible, we know people are like that. We come here to Exodus chapter 3, and we see this story beginning, and this story has already been taking place as we arrive in chapter 3, but I want you to see, and let me say this before you even look there, I want to tell you that I believe, it's been my experience, that God almost never calls people who feel qualified. Let me say it again. God almost never calls people who feel qualified. If you say here today, oh, God's lucky to have me, you're not a person God's going to use. I'm sorry to tell you. If you have the greatest voice in all the world and you think this choir is lucky that I'm there today, you're not the person God's going to use to be a blessing to other people. Amen? The Bible says God resists the who? The proud, but he gives grace to the who? To the humble. And I want to tell you today, if you came in here this morning thinking, what could God do with me? You're the right person for the job. And that's what we're going to see today. I want you to see Moses today here in Exodus chapter 3. You know this story. Moses has he was raised in Egypt. There in Egypt, he was adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh. And he grew up in their home. But he knew all the while that he was Jewish. And one day he saw a Jewish slave being mistreated. And so he decided that he would take control himself. I think he thought, I'm going to be the leader of Israel, and so I'm going to take care of that. Well, he killed that man, that Egyptian who was abusing the Jewish slave. He thought nobody was watching him. And he dug a hole and he buried that man and he covered it over and he thought, whew, that's done. But the next day, he was trying to correct two of the Jewish slaves. And one of them said, what are you going to do, kill us too? And Moses did what? He said, I'm going to stand like a man and take... No, he took off for the hills. He went as far as he could. And that's where we find him here. I want you to see what it says in Exodus chapter 3 in verse 1. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now, I want you to see, we preachers love that phrase, the backside the backside of the desert. Because many times we as Christians, when we are not following God, we try to hide. Amen? Hey, by the way, you can try it, but it doesn't work. You can try to hide from God, but God knows where you are. And God knew where Moses was. And so when it was time, God allowed Moses to stay out there for 40 years. The first 40, I think it was D.L. Moody that said that Moses' life can be divided into three 40-year time segments. In the first 40, Moses thought he was somebody. In the second 40 years, he thought he was nobody. And in the last 40 years, he learned what God could do with a nobody. Pretty interesting, right? So we're here in this time, and we're coming to the end of this. Now he's 80, and he's there, and he's on the backside. He's trying to hide from God. And I want you to see what happens. God comes to Moses. Drop down to verse 11 with me. I know I'm skipping a lot, but for time, we need to condense. But in verse 11, it says, "And Moses said unto God," oh, let me back up just a little bit. I forgot to talk about that burning bush. Moses is in the desert, and he sees a green bush that's burning, and he's curious. I've heard that bushes can catch on fire in the desert. I haven't had experience with that. But Moses saw this bush, and it was burning, but it was green. And so he was curious, and God spoke to him and said, "Take off your shoes. The ground where you're standing is holy ground." And so Moses then begins to speak with God, and God lets Moses know, "I want you to go back into Egypt. I want you to go back and help my people to be freed." Now Moses, maybe in the back of his mind, now he's 80, but he's still thinking about 40 years before when he failed. Have you ever thought about ways you have failed before and it stopped you from doing something God wanted you to do? That was Moses. So I want you to see what happens. Now we go to verse 11. And so Moses and God began to have a conversation. And it says in verse 11, "And Moses said unto God," would you say the next three words with me? Would you say them, the next three words? You ready? "Who am I?" By the way, that's a good question, right? God calls you to do something. And you say, "Who am I?" We might even say it this way, "Why me?" I remember when God touched my heart to surrender for deaf ministry. Oh, it was a long time ago. I think it was 1984. I was sitting in church all the way back there. I was assistant pastor. As Pastor Walsh said, I was busy. I was doing a whole ton of things. I didn't have time. And I was sitting back there, and I saw Ted Camp, our director. He's old now, 88 years old. But he was preaching in our church, doing the same thing I'm doing right now. He was voicing and signing. I had never seen it before. And I watched him that night, and I was sitting back there, and God touched my heart back there with this thought. One thought popped in my mind. Somebody needs to tell deaf people how to go to heaven. Amen? That's a good thought. And I thought about that. I was sitting back there. Now, I was an assistant pastor, so I had the authority. Not really. But anyway, I was sitting back there, and I started trying to help the Holy Spirit. You know, I pointed over here, and I said, "Oh, that person would be good to work with the deaf." "Oh, no, God, not me. That person, because I'm teaching school, I'm coaching, I'm young youth pastor, I'm the young married couples pastor, I'm the camp director, not me." And then over here, I'm trying not to point at any real person. Over here, at that person, they're not doing anything. They'd be good. And I was like, "No, over there." And God touched my heart, and I remember it. I said to God that night, "Who am I?" I tried to explain to God. I'm lousy with learning a different language. I told God, "I cannot learn sign language." Did you notice what I'm doing this morning? Sign language, voicing. Same as what I told God. "I cannot, I cannot, I cannot." And God said, "You." So here's Moses. He says, "Who am I? Who am I?" Look at the rest of verse 11. "That I should go back to the Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Who am I? What authority do I have? Who is going to listen to me? I have no authority. I have no right. I have no power. I'm weak. It's not me. It must be another person that you want. But God made him a promise. Now, say those three words with me again. What did Moses say? Say those three words. You ready? Who am I? I want you to see what God says to him. I love this, by the way. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I am come to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say unto them? What am I going to tell them? Look what God's answer was, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Moses asked, what were the three words? Who am I? And God said, I am. Here's what I want to let you know this morning. It's not about you. It's about him. When God calls a person, he does not call a person who's already qualified most times. He will call a person that he knows will give him the maximum glory. I want you to think about that a little bit. God has used all the way through your Bible failures, people who messed up. Every name that I already said to you this morning who might have felt overwhelmed. Do you remember the names? Abraham. What did Abraham do twice? He lied about his wife. God used a liar. Samson. Well, we don't even want to go there, right? You know Samson messed up big time. David messed up big time. Peter messed up big time. I could just, every name that's in our Bible, except for Jesus Christ, is a failure that God used. Why? Because they fully surrendered. And here's Moses. Who am I? And God said, I am that I am. Don't worry about yourself. Look down in chapter 4 now, verse 10. Because Moses is not finished. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, he says this to God, because God's not letting up, by the way. Oh, let me say, look up here for a second. When God calls you, he doesn't change his mind. Hello? Yeah. You and I, you might say, I say to my wife, I really, she'll say, what do you want to eat for dinner? And I say, oh, I want chicken. And then I look and, oh, there's hamburgers in there. I change my mind. I want hamburger. Too late. It's chicken. Amen. God doesn't do that. When God speaks, God knows what he's saying. And he means what he's saying. So when God called Moses, he already knew. By the way, God already knew about his failure 40 years before. He knew that. But God also knew the end of Moses on 120. So God called him for a purpose. God knows what he's doing, but Moses did not. Look at verse 10, chapter 4. It says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses said, oh God, you must not know me well. I cannot speak. I can't speak good. I mean, I hear these preachers, they get up here and their voice is wonderful and powerful. Me, I'm the little weak. I just can't do it. You're asking me to do something I cannot do. There's something that we need to remember. God knows who we are. And he knows all of your weaknesses. By the way, I hate when I get asked, would you make a list of your strengths and a list of your weaknesses? Me, I can fill out 5 pages over here on the weaknesses. Then I think strengths. Well, I brush my teeth good. I use deodorant. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what my strength. I can think of many, many weaknesses, and I think that's Moses. Moses, he just starts making the list. I can't talk. Nobody's going to believe. They're not going to listen to me. I mean, he's making excuse after excuse after excuse. Why? He feels overwhelmed. But here is an important thing that I want you to catch today. God knows who you are. And when God calls you, it means that he will use you where you think he cannot. God will use you where you think, God, I cannot do it. I remember back there in 1984 when God touched my heart and I said to God, I can't do it. Other people can do it, but not me. Now, here I stand in front of you today and I'm preaching in sign language and voice at the same time in American Sign Language. I thought I could, it was impossible for me to do this. But then God called me, go to Ukraine for 6 weeks as interim pastor there. But I want you to teach sign language at the end of the 6 weeks. I go there. I don't even know what I'm doing. I have no, I don't even have a plan, folks. It's horrible. I didn't even have a plan. But God knew the plan. He put me in that deaf school where I sat for 4 days. 4 days every week I would sit and learn for 4 hours every day from the deaf students there. They would teach me so that I could teach the people in that church. By the way, we taught a sign language class at the end of that 6 week time. I'm teaching the class and I'm looking at what I have written down that explains the sign and I'm not even sure I'm right. And I would look at my translator who he doesn't know any sign language. And I would say, is that what I said? Is that right? He's like, but we taught what we could with what we had, and guess what happened? That was 2005, we taught that class. Ever since 2005, there's been one girl who continues twice every week to go back to that school for the deaf, and she teaches the Bible to the students there. God can use us where we are the weakest. I'm not qualified to do that, but God knew what needed to be done. He knew that with Moses. And I want you to catch it. The work that God wants to do in you cannot be done by you alone. I want you to understand that. When God calls you to do a work that he calls you to do, you will not be able to do it yourself. You must have him or you cannot do it. You sit down and you open your Bible and you begin to read and you say, I can't understand everything in there. I'm going to quit. I'm going to close it. I'm going to leave it. Don't you dare quit. Because what you don't know, God will give you. But you need to ask him. We heard about it in Sunday school this morning. God gave us his Spirit to teach us and to guide us here. And when you don't understand your Bible, don't just give up. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to get involved and help you, to teach you and to lead you and to move your heart. Because God is going to ask you to do things you cannot do without him. That's his plan. Hey, when God called Pastor Walsh to be here, he came here. If he came here himself, he would not be here today. He would have failed a long time ago. But he had to have the help of God. I'm sure he walked in here and he was excited. You know, it was empty. Nobody was here. He came in here after he got voted to come be the pastor. Here he came in. He probably stood up here and he looked around. He imagined, oh, there's going to be thousands of people just crash coming in here. We're going to have 10 services on a Sunday morning to fit everybody in here. And he was dreaming. He was dreaming. And then all of a sudden it hit him. Now it was empty. Nobody was here. What am I going to preach on Sunday? Oh, my. You know what? I hope he got on his knees and he said to God, I need your help. Help me know what to preach to my people that are going to come. And by the way, that's how God does it. That's what God did with Moses. Moses said, I can't, I can't, I can't. And God said, I know. I'm going to be with you. I am that I am has sent you. I want you to see what happens. So Moses obeys God. You know this story. But I want you to see that God wants to, he wants to make changes in your life, in my life. He cannot do that. You cannot change yourself. You have a program here on Friday nights. What's the name of that again? Bridge to Victory. What a great program. We need programs like that. Amen? Now let's try that again. We need programs like that. Amen? Okay, that was much improved. Do that the first time. Next time, we won't have to repeat, all right? Anyway, We need those programs, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's not a man or a woman that's coming into that program that can change themselves. Not one. That's where the problem with our world's programs that try to help people with addictions. They can't do it because they emphasize, you can change yourself. No, you cannot. That's something that needs the help of God. I want to tell you, this morning I was so blessed. After church service this morning, a man came up to me and he said, you preached about me this morning. He said, 30 years I was an addict. And I'm sorry, all my life I was an addict, but for the last 30 years, God has helped me not to do that. But it's been God's work. And I'm going to tell you, that's true for all of us. With anything, I want to change my life. Well, I have to depend on God for that, the same as Moses. The work that God wants to do in me cannot be done without God's help. That's a simple thing, but it's important. I want you to see how God, go back to chapter 3 with me again, in Exodus chapter 3. And I'm just going to go through rapid fire some verses. I want you to notice the personal pronoun. All right? And I'm going to emphasize it. Hopefully you'll catch it. I'm sure you will. And I'm just going to fly through some verses with you. And I want you to see if you can see the point that I want you to catch this morning. So Moses is complaining, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't speak. I have no authority. Nobody's going to listen to me. And on he goes. And I want you to see what God says to him. Look in chapter 3, verse 6. Moreover, God said, he said, I am the God of thy father. Drop down to verse 8. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Verse 12. Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee. I have sent thee. Drop down to verse 17. He said, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. Verses 20 and 21, he said, I will stretch out my hand and will smite Egypt with all the wonders which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Drop down to chapter 4, verse 15. And he said, and thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth. What did God tell Moses? I'm going to do the work. I just need you to go. I will be the power behind you, but you need to go. And I want to tell you this morning, God needs you to serve him in the ways he touches you to serve. I thank God he doesn't touch all of us to do the same thing. Or we'd be running over each other all the time. But God calls us to specific, unique things. I praise God that he touched my heart back in 1984 back there that said, some person needs to tell deaf people about Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful God did that. I am honored to serve deaf people. I love deaf people. I will drive hours to meet a deaf person who needs Jesus because God touched my heart and God called me. I can remember the first time that I went to Ukraine. And again, we were so foolish. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know hardly any sign language in Ukraine. But we went there. Ted Camp was with me. He and I went together, and we found out that there was a factory that made clothing. Ladies, you'll know this, but they made mud. I didn't think he wanted to make mud. I got in trouble for playing in the mud, but they make clothing they call mud. And London fog. They had a factory there that they made these clothes, and 80% of the workers were deaf that worked in this factory. And so we went there, and at Ted Camp, he's tall, and me, I'm not. But anyway, he's tall, and we went into the factory, and all eyes came to us, and they're all looking at us. Now, most of them are deaf. They're looking at us, and so we went, hi. They went, hi. We said, they went, We said, we're from America. This is a sign for America and Ukraine. This is America. Here we go, America, us. They said, oh. Now they're looking at us, and we're like, that's it. That's all we know. So anyway, we met with them, and we met with a guy who was in charge of all of the deaf in that city in Ukraine, in Zhytomyr. So that guy, we went and sat down with him, and he liked Ted and I. I don't know why, but he was just friendly with us. And so we had told him, we're going to have a meeting. We've rented a room over here. We had an auditorium we had rented. We're going to have a special meeting for the deaf on Friday night. By the way, we didn't know what we were going to do, but we had a meeting planned. And so he said, okay, I'll let them all know. They'll come. We said, wonderful. So we went to the school for the deaf. We told them the same thing. On Friday night, we're getting ready. Friday morning, we're getting ready. And Ted Camp and I are discussing, how are we going to do this? We want to present the gospel to these deaf people. How do we do it? And so we had decided we're going to try to pantomime a little bit. And we had an overhead projector. This is horrible. But anyway, we had an overhead projector. And Ted had all these slides. How many of you know what an overhead projector? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm not talking. I know it's a long time ago, old stuff. Anyway, this is so funny. So we get it all set up, and Ted and I had discussed, and we had planned the order of the slides. I'm gonna take off, put on, and Ted's gonna try to explain it. Well, I put the first one on. I push the power button on the overhead projector, and it turns on, and poof, it goes. We were plugged into 220, and we had 110. Yeah, I'm not real smart, but I know what happens. The bulb blew instantly. And I'm over here at the projector. You know, I'm doing this, and I put it on. I push the button. Boop, it blows. And Ted Camp's over here. He goes, what'd you do? I said, I just pushed on the button, turned it on. I didn't know what I did. Anyway, our whole plan was destroyed. But on Friday morning, the man who was in charge of all those deaf in that factory, he said to us, I have an interpreter who's a Ukrainian interpreter. Do you want her to come to help you? We said, yeah, that'd be wonderful. So here's what happened. So we had a platform about like this. We would stand, and we were speaking in English. Over here on the floor was a Ukrainian translator. He doesn't know sign language. He's speaking Ukrainian. Up here on the platform was the Ukrainian interpreter. Are you with me? It's as close as I've come to speaking in tongues my whole life. Anyway, so we literally have four languages that are happening at the same time. Four. English, ASL, over there, Ukraine, and Ukrainian Sign Language up here. So Ted Camp looks at me because our pictures are gone. He said, you tell him about how to get to heaven. Okay, I know how to get to heaven. I come over, and I just start, and I explain the best I can, and I use the example of a person who's drowning in the water, and a person outside the pool reaches out and pulls him up. You know, Jesus, I went through the whole thing. I gave the invitation. I said, if you want to pray to receive Christ yourself, would you stand up? And all over that room, deaf people stood up. And they're looking at me. Well, now I have a problem. What do I do now? And Ted Camp says, he comes up behind me, says, you take those to the back of the room. I'm keeping the interpreter. I was like, by the way, he's the boss, so I have to listen. So I take this group back. And as I'm walking back there, I say to the Lord, what am I going to do? Who am I? Truthfully, who am I and what am I doing here? I went back there. I'll never forget this. I had a translator with me. And I said to her, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know sign language to explain. This is the most important thing. And about that time, a girl in the front row spoke to my translator. And here she was, the daughter of one of the deaf ladies who had gone back. And she said, I will interpret for you. And she came up, And I remember I said to her through my translator, I said, you tell her, make sure she doesn't just sign, but she came back here to receive Christ herself. Make sure she receives Christ herself. And here was that girl. I don't even know her name, but God knew her name. And God knew my name. And I said, who am I? And God said, I am that I am. And I'm going to tell you that God can do anything he wants with any of us. He's just waiting for us to be willing to go. Whew, that one got my heart. Sorry about that. No, I'm not sorry about that. That's why we're in the ministry, amen? Because God steps in when we cannot do anything. That's the whole emphasis of what I'm trying to tell you today. I want to say to you, and I'm getting ready to close, the work that God wants to do in this world today, this is going to surprise you. The work God wants to do in the world today, he wants to do through you. This is God's plan. He doesn't hire a professional. He calls a sinner who had no hope, and he saves that sinner. And then he says to that sinner, go and tell people what you know about me. I was preaching in prison not too far from here in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, not too many years ago. And I was preaching, and after the service, one of the prisoners came up to me, and he said, we are just, wait till you hear this, we are just beggars who found out where the bread is. And we're going to tell other beggars where they can find the bread. And that's pretty much, that's it in really short place. You, if you are saved here this morning, God has a plan for your life. And his plan is not for you to sit and watch other people serve him. His plan is for each of us to accept responsibility to do what we can, and really even what we cannot do, but he touches our heart. That night in 1984, when I was sitting back there, I was not ready. I even told God that. But God knew that, and he called me anyway. And God wants to use you. And the work that he wants to do in the world today, he wants to do through you. I'm going to close in just a little bit. Terry, would you interpret for me just the end of this? Thank you. I want to give you three last things, and then I'm done this morning. There are some things that you cannot do yourself, that you need the help of God. Number one is you cannot get to heaven without the help of God. We are living in a society that tells us, oh, yeah, we have religion. I couldn't tell you how many homes I've knocked on the door and I say, could I share with you how you can know you're going to heaven? Oh, I am, and they name a religion. Like that's what is going to get them to heaven. And I'm going to tell you, that's not what's going to get you to heaven. If you came here today and you thought, well, I'm going to Lighthouse Baptist Church, I must be going to heaven. Nope, you're not. Not for that reason, at least. Because I'm going to tell you right now, this man is a sinner. He cannot forgive your sins. There's not a priest or a pope or a whatever they call the other people. There's a whole lot of names for them. Imams, all those people. That no one can forgive your sin except for the man who gave his life on that cross. I love the crosses. Oh, look at it. It's right here. It's right there. Look on the end of the pew next to you. There's crosses all over this church. Why? Because that cross is the pivotal point in the history of this world, but it needs to be the pivotal point in the history of your life. Because I want to tell you, it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done. But it is because of the mercy, according to his mercy, God's mercy, that he saved us. And he did it through the Lord Jesus Christ by the washing of regeneration of the Holy Spirit of God. So, folks, I want you to see it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are the only ones who can forgive your sins. There's not a person on this earth that can. You might say, well, listen, I'm going to change my life now. I've already preached about that. If you missed that part, you'll have to go back and listen to the tape. They don't have tapes anymore. You know. Anyway, go back and listen to the message. You can't change yourself. But if you could, let's say you decide today, I'm not going to sin from here on. Today I'm 66 years old, and I decide today I'm not going to sin from here to the rest of my life. By the way, I've never been able to do it for one day, but let's say that I could do it for the rest of my life. I never sin. Well, I'm still carrying a boatload of 66 years worth of sin with me. And so I cannot do anything about that. That's already been done. Amen? I need a Savior who is eternal and can take care of that, and can take care of this, and can take care of that. The only one that can do that is the Lord Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know for sure 100%, if you died right now, you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven, I've got bad news and good news for you. The bad news is you're not going to heaven. If you're not 100% sure today, you're not going to heaven. But the good news is you can be sure before you leave here. The Bible says it this way: he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things are written to them that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, everlasting life. You can know today before you leave. Now listen, there's religions that tell you you can't know. And there's a reason they tell you you can't know, because they want to keep you in bondage. But God wants to free you from your sins. He provided all you need in the Lord Jesus. That's number one. Number two, you can't, I mentioned this earlier, you can't change your own life. You can say, boy, I'm gonna reform. I'm gonna change what I do. I'm gonna be a different person. Listen, I gave this illustration in the beginning. I remember a Sunday morning. I get up. I wake up in my. I'm still laying in bed, and I say, God, here I am today. I'm getting ready to swing my feet out onto the floor, and I'm gonna get ready to go to church today. I love you. I admire you. I worship you. I want you to have all of me there is to have today. I go in, I get myself ready, I go up, I have my breakfast, I open my Bible, I read through the Word of God. He's just rich, he's richly blessing my heart. I pray, God, give me a great day today. I'm going to the house of God. I want you to speak to my heart. I get in my car, I back out of my driveway, and a guy cuts me off on the road I live on. And all that good spirituality goes right out the window. I'm sorry, I just can't help it, neither can you. But I have a God who can change me from the inside out. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, say it with me, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have a God who can do that, but it takes our surrender and his involvement. The last thing I want you to see is that God can not only change you initially, but he can continually change you. One of the things I've learned as I get older is I'm never going to arrive. You know, when you're younger, you think, oh yeah, I'm gonna get that down. I'll have that figured out by the time I'm 30. And you figure by the time you're 30, there's a whole bunch of other stuff you didn't know you had to figure out that you're still trying to figure out, and you still haven't got that figured out yet. But I love this verse in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of, I'm sorry, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God is in the process of changing us if we will continue to stay in his word. I want to encourage your heart. Moses asked the question, who am I? Why me? But Moses was about to enter some of the most exciting, thrilling stories that have ever been included in our Bible. All the way through our Bible, we hear about the Red Sea parting. Moses was there. He got to be right on the edge. By the way, Moses might have still been asking, who am I, when the sea parted. When they got on the other side, he might have still been asking, who am I? You know what the one thing was different? He was working. He was going. He was doing what God called him to do. I want to really encourage you today. I don't know what it is God touched your heart to do, but I know one thing. God did not call any of you to sit sour and soak in this church. I know that for sure. We are living in the days, I firmly believe, don't ask me a date, but I firmly believe we could be the generation to hear the trumpet sound. I do not want to be sitting, drinking iced tea, complaining about other people who are serving God, because that's what we do, by the way, when we don't serve. We complain about the people who are serving. I don't want to be sitting drinking iced tea, complaining about people who are serving God while I do nothing for God. I want to be, I ran track in high school, and I had a chance a couple times to hit that tape first. When I hit it, there was not one time I hit it that I was letting up. I was leaning forward. I was straining with every muscle I had. Everything in me was looking at that line. I wasn't looking anywhere else. I was looking at that line. And when I hit that line, I was going as fast as I could possibly run when I hit it. And that's the way I want to step into heaven. I hope you do too. God needs us. He wants us. And he will fill us and use us if we surrender.